Most of the headlines out of this week's NATO summit focused on President Trump's demands that European countries boost military spending. But even with so much military spending, it seems countries with huge defense budgets like the U.S. are still very susceptible to cyber attacks. NATO members did agree to open a new cyberspace operations center in Belgium and a joint force command in Norfolk, Virginia. Joining us now is James Lewis, a cybersecurity expert with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. James, what about that? It does seem like we're all still very vulnerable on the cyber front.
It's completely true. The technology is very vulnerable. You just saw last month the Chinese break into a top secret Navy facility. Defense is really hard, and that NATO is moving in the right direction is a good sign, but don't expect this to work really well for a few more years.
Well, is it a case of there's not enough money being poured into it, or is it just not about how much money you're spending on cyber?
It's not about how much money. And the interesting thing that NATO did is they copied a little bit from the nuclear precedent, from the special forces precedent. NATO isn't going to have any cyber forces. Instead, member states, and that means the U.S. and the U.K. more than anyone else, will provide those cyber forces to NATO. And so as these people come online, it'll take about a year. I think you'll see things start to improve.
A cyber attack could be on a government or government agency. It could also just be on a private company within a country. Is it the responsibility of that country's Defense Department to protect that private company against a cyber attack?
NATO went back and forth on that for a couple of years, and I think they ultimately decided probably not. What's been interesting is that they've developed a partnership with the European Union, and the European Union, which has an agency called ENISA, is the one responsible for protecting those domestic industries, you know, working with the countries. I mean, if a country isn't going to do anything, pick a tiny NATO country that doesn't care. There's nothing NATO or the EU can do. But if there's a will, they'll be able to make them safer.
What's your biggest fear about a cyber attack? What could happen?
You know, I think that my biggest fear is that they're not prepared for it, in the sense that everyone focuses on critical infrastructure and, you know, hardware.
The power grid or something like that.
Absolutely. The Russians focused on what they might call cognitive effect, shaping how you think, shaping your minds, making you confused. They've certainly succeeded at that. So we may be defending the wrong target. I mean, we have to think about fake news. The goal here is to confuse your opponent more than it is to turn off the lights. And the Russians are really good at that. We're just starting to figure out how to defend against it.
How do you defend against that?
Yeah, some of it is you have to, the basic stuff, you have to make it harder for them to break in. And some of it is you have to work with people in advance. I talked to the French agency that does cybersecurity because the Russians tried to interfere in their election. And I said, hey, what happened? You guys seem to have beaten it off. And they said, we went to all the major news outlets before the election and said, the Russians are likely to do this. This is what it will look like. Please don't use these stories. And to my amazement, and I think a little bit to the French's, the media guy said, okay, we won't run the fake Russian news. You have to work in advance to prepare the audience for the fact that it's going to get these confusing messages. And in a big country like the U.S., that could be hard to do.
How does our investment in cybersecurity compare to, say, China or Russia? And maybe in those countries, it's not even just about defense. It's about attacks. It's about investing in attacking other countries with cyber.
I was talking to some European officials yesterday, and they reminded me that number one in the world for attack is the United States. On the defense, we're falling behind, and it's not so much how you spend, it's how you organize and how you regulate. Most other places, Russia and China included, but also many European countries, they tell their critical infrastructure, you must do this. We still rely a bit more on voluntarism and maybe blind faith. That's our biggest weakness.
You're saying that we in the United States are the number one target of attacks, or we're the number one attacker?
Both. Unfortunately, both. We're everyone's favorite target. Now, to be fair, the primary target for the Russians and the Chinese is their own population. They fear them more than they fear the U.S. And so the bad news is all the techniques they've developed to disrupt the domestic opposition, they've now focused them outside and they're focusing them on us. But sure, you can use cyber like a weapon, and the Russians have proven in the Ukraine that they can turn the lights off when they want. They could probably do that here in many cities. But their primary goal is to create confusion and dissent. That's been their doctrine now for about 5 years.
That's James Lewis, who is director of the Technology and Public Policy Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Thank you so much.
Thank you.